And for any Christian here today, that is one inescapable fact, that if you are a Christian here today, at some stage in your life, whether that be recently or a long time ago, you decided to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And it's a funny thing when you think about it, but what you're actually doing is handing over all control. You're handing over all your decisions, all of your dreams, all of your desires to somebody else and deciding to leave them there in his capable hands. So when the Bible talks about us making Jesus Christ our Lord, it's a very serious thing, because it's easy to do church without God, and it's easy to do life without God, but it's not fruitful, nor is it empowered. But when Jesus Christ is Lord, when you've entrusted your faith to him, when you have given him of your life, then all of a sudden, your life becomes empowered by the decisions that he asks you to make on his behalf. So Jesus Christ is Lord. It is his will, not ours. And you know what? Authentic Christianity is authentic because it realizes that, and because it takes that seriously, so that we no longer try and do things our way, but we endeavor to do things God's way. So things like spending time with the Lord. You know, how are you going to know his will if you never spend any time with him? Unless you spend time with him. How are you going to know the nuance of his call and how it develops in your life unless you are prepared to spend time on your knees before him? And I want to remind you of the great commandment. I'm sure if I was to ask you, you'd know what it is. In fact, if you want to say it out with me, it's in Mark chapter 12, if you want to turn there, and we'll read it together. You know, sometimes we make the Christian life really complicated, don't we? But God gives us two great commandments. Just two. Not a myriad, just two, in which are encapsulated all the law and the prophets, the word says. And what are they? Mark 12, 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Say with me, Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength.' This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And I like what the scribe said to him in response. So the scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is none but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." Now when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." But after that, no one dared question him. So authentic Christianity therefore begins with the principal, most important command: to love God. So I want to ask you honestly, are you authentic? Are we authentic in our love for God? Do we forget to love God in the midst of our busyness? You know, I, as a minister, sometimes I feel like I'm almost too busy to love God. I'm too busy doing stuff to love God, and sometimes forget him, the demands of work, the demands of church, the demands of a young family. Do we substitute ministry, therefore, for genuine expressions of love? You know what? In my relationship with Liz as my wife, I dare not forget to love Liz. I dare not, and I would not, and I will not. I dare not forget to love my kids. I dare not forget to hug them and care for them and tell them that I love them. But you know what? Authentic Christianity has that at its very heart with God. You cannot fake it with God. You might be able to fake it with everybody else. You know, if I was to ask those closest to you what they thought about your relationship with God, what would that reveal? But if I was to ask God, what would that reveal? What would God say about your devotion and your love for him? Because authentic Christianity begins with the knowledge that we are to love God above all. And you know what? When you are tugged every which way by family, friends, commitments, work, anything else, sometimes it's hard to do that. But I believe that when we do that, that's when we begin to see the supernatural flow of God in our lives. Can you say amen? Because I know you guys, and you know me. What do we all want? We all want to see revival. We all want to see people so on fire, impassioned by God and for God, that we just don't know what to do with it except for share it. That we don't know what to do with it except for pray for people. Just lay hands on people, anoint people, and see them changed by the glory of God. I know you want to see that, and I want to see that. But you need to develop a hunger and thirst for it in order to pursue that. This is where the first great commandment comes in. There's no point asking for revival. There's no point believing for it unless you're going to get down on your knees regularly and allow God to impart something to you that will change situations and see them transformed into revival. Revival's really messy, folks. Are you sure you really want it? I really want it. I really want it. And I know you really want it too. So I want to encourage you with all of your strength to seek God and to find out what your part of his plan is for that to come about. Because I believe that revived people revive people. I believe that healed people heal people. I believe that passionate people cause a transformation in other people's lives when they're plugged into the Holy Spirit and they really know love. Because love is the only thing that never fails. Amen. And God is love. Isn't that wonderful? I want to challenge you with Revelation chapter 2. Because, as I said before, it's really easy to do all of the religious things that we know are good and right without love. And when I was reading this passage earlier on this week, I paused at verse 4 and I thought, what an awesome church this is that he's talking about. I want you to look at it with me. Revelation chapter 2 verse 1 says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered, and you have patience, and you have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary." If you were to pause there, you'd think, what an awesome church, wouldn't you? This is a hard-working, doctrine-loving, sin-hating, persevering, enduring, patient church. Wow. Read on. "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." What a wonderful setup, but a wonderful rebuke and correction at the same time. Again, it's easy to do things without God. But in doing so, in doing things without the core of our being motivated by love, without the essence of our being wanting to show love, we have become what 1 Corinthians 13 says, clanging cymbal and sounding brass. And how harshly was the rebuke that the Lord gave to that church. I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Now we know in verse 1 it talks about Jesus is the one that walks in the midst of the lampstands. So a church whose lampstand has been removed is a church without the presence of Jesus. A church whose lampstand has been removed is no longer able to proclaim the king and the kingdom because it no longer recognizes the king in its midst. That's a serious thing, isn't it? To lose our first love, to forget the great commandment in the busyness of life is a serious matter. Now, I thank God that God loves us and is always there for us. His love is genuinely unfailing, and he has promised that he will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. But that doesn't mean that we can't leave him. That doesn't mean that we can't be so seduced by the world, so seduced by its busyness and its just all the things that go on. You know what? If the devil can't deceive you, we'll have a good go at distracting you. And there are so many distractions in this day and age. It's unbelievable. The more the technology advances, the more distractions we have. No longer did you work 9 to 5 in a job. Now you can be reached any time of the day or night. And most people will be answering emails long into the night if they've got a job that's demanding. You know, I'm sure Dave was like that in your previous job. Remember you saying? Answering emails at all manner of times because he felt that he had to be connected. Such are the demands of the world. But you know what? Even in the demands of the world, Jesus found time to draw aside with his Father. And he gives us that wonderful example, doesn't he? Of drawing aside. Maybe it's in the early mornings. Maybe it's in the night. Maybe it's in the middle of the day. But nonetheless, he drew aside to spend time with his Father because he knew that without his Father's presence, there would be no ministry. There'd be no miraculous. There'd be no supernatural manifestation. There'd be no truth. Hallelujah. So how important is that for us? Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, the patience, the endurance, all of those things, they're good. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So one of the greatest marks of authenticity for any Christian is that loving of God in prayer, in worship, in devotion. Now, Rob got a word from God earlier on in the prayer meeting. I've asked him just to share it with us because I think it will just show you that the Lord is kind of weaving all of this together into a message for us today.
Thanks, Tina. Yeah, as we were praying, just the Holy Spirit revealed this. Just the picture of Jesus when he was in the boat. And the storms all around, and the boat's taking in water. And as I was just reflecting on this, I saw pictures of boats that were sitting really low in the water. You know, when a boat just takes on lots and lots of weight, they sink really low, and you can just see the top edge of the boat, as it were. And this was, if you like, the water represented the world that was coming into the boat and just weighing it down and down and down. But then I saw a great big bucket that was given to those in the boat, and on the side of it was written repentance, and that was the, if you like, the what was being used then to bail out all of the world, all of the things that were there, that were preventing us being filled with all that God would have for us.
Amen. And I believe that repentance is what God is asking of us today. I really do. And, you know, repentance, God's type of repentance, it has no sorrow attached with it. You are exchanging something divine for something normal. You are having a supernatural exchange when you repent before God. But I just want to carry on this theme of the great commandment. And if you would, turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians 13. Because this ties in not just with our love for God, but also our love for each other, which is the second great commandment. So it says in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. So tongue talking without love, noise. That's all it is. Prophecy without love, nothing. Knowledge without love, nothing. And you don't get to know Jesus through study. You get to know Jesus through obedience to the things that you study. Not in the study, but obedience to the things that you study. Knowledge is nothing without obedience. Faith without love, nothing. Giving without love, useless. Sacrifice without love, useless. Profitless. So it's so easy to go through the motions, but at our very core, we need to have a love for God and a love for each other. And growing in love, growing in God, the same thing, for God is love. Now turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. Verses 3 to 6. This is the test of whether we truly know God. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So we see again, one of the marks of authenticity in Christianity is that we are perfected in love. That as we keep the commandment to love God and to love one another, as we live righteously before God, it says here that the love of God is perfected in us. And, you know, who knows from experience that when you receive the love of God, something changes on the inside of you. Who knows that? Who's experienced that type of love that brings genuine change? Amen. Because there's something in the love of God, in the act of loving and being loved, we are perfected in that love. Something on the inside of us changes to reflect more and more of who Jesus is. And in verse 6, this is what it says. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he, Jesus, walked. So the purpose of God for our lives is to transform us into the image of Christ. Every day should be another step closer to being more and more like Jesus. Every day. Now, I know that that's an ideal thing. In the real world, sometimes it's a little bit of a rocky road. But I want to encourage you that with all your heart to love God and love one another. These are the great commandments. So if we carry on reading in 1 John from verse 7, this is what I believe is the authentic demonstration of those that love their neighbors. It says, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. together with 1 Corinthians 13, if we carry on reading that in a moment, you will see that authentic Christianity, as far as loving your neighbor, is in not holding offense against them. It is in long suffering and perseverance with them. In fact, let's read 1 Corinthians 13, because in this you'll see what love truly is and how it is truly manifest. So from verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, for love never fails. So when in our relationship with him and with each other, we're growing in long suffering, when we're growing in kindness, when we are when our ability not to be envious is growing, when our ability not to be prideful and puffed up is growing, when we lay down our rudeness, when we become less self-seeking, when we're not easily provoked to offense, and when we think no evil of others, when we do not rejoice in iniquity, but instead rejoice in the truth, when we bear all things, when we believe all things, when we find hope in all things, when we endure all things, that's the authentic Christianity that God is talking about. That's authentic Christian living and authentic Christian loving. And you know what? There's no shortcuts to these things. You have to let God work on the inside of you until this becomes a reality in your life. And that only happens through spending time on your knees in prayer. Only. You know, if there were a shortcut, I'm sure I would have found it by now in 23 years of being a Christian, but I've not. There is no shortcut. There's no shortcut to being loved by God and loving him and allowing that love to go to your neighbor. There's no shortcut, and there never, ever will be. Never. So I want to encourage you, out of Revelation chapter 3, to do what Jesus says. Counsel you once again to buy from him gold refined in the fire. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 18. Actually, let's go from verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in with him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We all want authentic Christianity. We all want to be an authentic expression of Christianity in the world. But there's a price to pay. And that price is through prayer. It's through spending time with God, first and foremost. And through loving one another, secondly. And, you know, we talk about hunger and thirst, don't we, in all of this? You know, I want there to be such a deep passion in each of us that we just cannot hold this in any longer. That we cannot help but want to just reach into heaven and pull something down. That we want to experience something of God that we can pass on to each other. And I believe that's where God's blessing is. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Hallelujah. So I know that this is perhaps a challenging and difficult word for some. You know, none of us like the Christian veneer to be taken off to reveal something that may not be genuine. But you know what? I believe with all of my heart that if we humble ourselves, that God will meet us in his grace and in his goodness and in his desire to transform us and help us to become completely genuine. That what is on the inside is reflected on the outside. That there are no more masks, no more pretense, no more religious observance that doesn't speak of God's life. But instead, that we are completely in love with God and by that love, live a life that is pleasing to him. So I want to encourage you now, as the worship team, if you'd like to come back to your instruments and play. I want to encourage you that there is a genuine power here to transform. There's a genuine call by God to once again fall in love with him, to be passionate for him. And I want to ask that you respond to that call. If that has spoken to you, if you know on the inside right now, you need to just once again tell God that you love him. Make him Lord once again of your life. So that when you say that he is Lord, there's no hypocrisy in that. Then I want you to come out and want you to pray. In fact, I don't even feel like I need to pray with you guys. I feel this is something that you need to do with God, that I need to do with God. That you need to search your heart right now and ask him to help you to take off the counterfeit and live in the genuine. So would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, would you fill our hearts again? Would you transform us from the inside out? Would you help us to take a drink from your deep well and develop a hunger and thirst for you that is unquenchable? God, would you help us to hunger after your word, to be satisfied by it in our seeking, and be so filled to overflowing that we become the witness that we all want to be, a witness not just in word, but in power, a witness not just in word, but in genuine deeds of love. Father, would you take away the counterfeit? Would you help us peel off the masks that we wear and cast them aside at the foot of the cross, where there is mercy, where there is grace, where there is restoration and redemption. So that our lives on the inside reflect, Father God, you, and just come out on the outside. Father, that's our prayer today. Would you revive us once again, God? Hallelujah. Would you revive us once again, God? Hallelujah. Let's just worship the Lord.